Hey, St. John. Welcome to the Post Sermon Podcast. I am Deaconess Dahlia, and with me today is Pastor Adam.
Hey, Deaconess. It's Easter Tuesday. How are you doing?
Really good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Do you feel like you're recovered from the week?
No, not at all.
Well, I don't feel recovered either. Today, we're discussing your sermon from Sunday. So we're all pretty familiar with the text about Jesus's resurrection, but this one is from the Gospel of Luke. So can you tell us a little bit more about that text that you preached on?
All four Gospels have the resurrection of Jesus, but one of the interesting things is details will vary between the four. Now, there's no debate about did Jesus rise from the dead or not, but the Gospels will list different details, and it's not that these things aren't true. And so some will mention one angel, some will mention two, how many women are named at the tomb, when does Peter get there, when's Mary standing outside and crying, you know, like in John's gospel, and trying to reconcile that can cause a little bit of a challenge, but it can be done, and all four's details make sense, which is a really nice piece of corroborating the resurrection accounts.
And is this the first time that you preached from the Gospel of Luke?
Yeah, it happens to be. Last time these readings were up, I used the Isaiah reading, I think, about the new heavens and the new earth.
So can you tell me about the central teaching of your sermon?
The central teaching of the sermon is that God kept his promise to turn this graveyard of the old creation into a garden once more.
That was something that really struck me, was when you mentioned how the whole world is a graveyard.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that interesting book.
Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Who wrote that?
I have a copy of it here. Here we go. It's pulling off the shelf. Background sounds of the podcast. It's a Smoke Gets in Your Eyes and Other Lessons from the Crematory. Is it Caitlin? Looks like a Doty, like pizza dough.
Yeah, I think it's Doty.
Is it Doughty? Doty?
Doty. I listen to this podcast.
Her first name is
too.
Caitlin, I can tell you that. What's that?
I listened to the podcast.
Yeah. It was an interview and just kind of happened upon it from another podcast I listened to. And I just remember that really catching title and discussion that she had about the funeral industry.
Sure. So why did you include that in the beginning of your sermon?
I wanted to bring my hearers along with me on the idea that the world is a graveyard. And I thought this would be a creative way to do that by starting with the perspective of a funeral director. That's why I recalled this interview as I was kind of dwelling on how do I bring up all this? Because yes, we all die, death is a reality, but just to have that standpoint of the presentness of death, you know, we like to hide that and ignore it. And so I thought this was a more creative way to get us to think about the world as a graveyard.
Now, would you say that is the problem that the sermon sought to identify, was just this reality of death that we try to ignore or push away?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the consequence of sin is it is death. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the curse that comes from the fall, right? Don't eat this fruit, lest you die. And so we know death is the enemy. We had the Corinthians reading that the last enemy to be defeated is death. And so that was, of course, the main focus, but not too far from that are other realities like suffering and pain and other things that make the journey to death less than pleasant.
Sure. Well, I guess this whole conversation about the world as a graveyard and just that the consequence of sin is death reminds me of what the angels had said at the tomb is why do you seek the living among the dead? Which you had repeatedly, you would repeatedly ask that question throughout your sermon.
Right. And that's actually how I started the sermon, was quoting as Luke 24:5. And that, you know, while they're frightened, they bowed their faces, and the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? And that, I love that question from Luke's resurrection account, and just that's our Easter declaration, that death is no longer permanent. Death has become impermanent in the body of Christ, and will so for us. That question becomes our question to the world of don't seek life in the graveyard. Don't seek life where death reigns, or where death is just succumbed to or accepted. As Christians, we have the living Christ and the promise that death, this last enemy, will even be defeated in our bodies too, because it was defeated in his body on that first Easter Sunday.
I wanted to mention, in your sermon, you brought up a book that we'd read in staff about different religions, yeah. The Christian Difference, right?
Yeah, the book is called The Christian Difference. Concordia Publishing House puts it out, and it's just a survey of world religions and other beliefs and philosophies.
Yeah, and I remember us having a conversation about what religion we would be if we weren't Christians. What do all other religions lack, or where do they all fall short?
Ultimately, Christianity is the only true religion and everything else is false. I mean, that as, when it comes down to it, you know, from our standpoint, from the standpoint of the empty tomb.
And you made the claim that if it turns out Jesus did not rise from the dead, all of this is a waste of time.
Yeah. And this is Paul's point in Corinthians 15. If Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile. We're to be pitied of all people. And we're still in our sins. And it's not just that Jesus' death forgives our sins. His resurrection is inherently tied to the removal of our sins too.
No other religion claims that their God died and rose from the dead for them?
Yeah, I think this gets into some of the C.S. Lewis points of, in terms of the role of grace, that God actually achieves our salvation versus us having to do or to think the right things or to say the right things.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily mean to get into like an apologetics, you know, discussion right now, but there was definitely apologetics going on in some of that sermon.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
You're talking
so,
about
yeah,
different yeah. religions and what they don't really offer to us.
Right, yeah. So apologetics, just a term for defending the faith. An apology just comes in the older word, just means a defense. It doesn't mean an I'm sorry. Apologetics is how do we speak the truth in love? How do we defend the faith? Often I find when I preach on Easter, I'm doing a bit of apologetics, a defense of the resurrection. And so, yeah, that was kind of my focus this year, was looking at other religions and beliefs in contrast to the fact of the empty tomb, the fact that Christ's body lives and nothing else is going to satisfy. Nothing else is frankly a happy ending apart from he's risen.
So what does that mean for us? What does the risen Christ mean for us today?
Yeah, the risen Christ, it provides all purpose and color and meaning and joy to the world once more. Maybe to kind of picture it, we have the Garden of Eden, paradise, beautiful, without sin. And once sin comes in some sense, the world starts to lose its color. The world is no longer just a place of peace and joy and life.
It's been tainted.
It's been tainted and corrupted. And now we know joy, but we also know sorrow. We know elation and we know despair.
And in a way, we're less human.
We're made in God's image, and yet through our sin, that even our humanity has been corrupted too. What is the resurrection of Jesus? It is God restoring his creation. It is God bringing the color and the music and the joy, and everything is being put back now once more. Because Christ's body has been put back to life, so are our bodies, so will our bodies, so will the rest of creation be restored too.
And Paul says Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection.
Yeah.
Right? So you see this breaking through of Christ's risen body into this world and just what that means for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first fruits of the harvest, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to rise, or he has risen, us too soon, one day when he returns. And so what that means is living in this old creation today, living in this graveyard, it's not just waiting out the clock. It's not just, oh, I can't wait to escape, but rather Christ is going to restore this thing. And it means that our work, our living in this creation, our service, our vocation, our relationships with one another, they matter because they matter to Jesus, right? He doesn't just die and escape this world. He rises from the dead. And what does he do? He goes and finds his friends. He goes to his disciples. He eats and drinks in this creation. In John's account, he's gardening. You know, just as Adam and Eve are supposed to tend the garden, there's Jesus tilling the soil once more. The resurrection of Jesus actually brings the color and the meaning and the purpose all back into the creation.
And I was just thinking, you didn't specifically mention this in your sermon, but if we ever feel like this renewal hasn't really started, we can look to our baptisms, right? I mean, that's where we've been given new life right there.
That
breaking through of his resurrection is now our reality, right?
Yeah, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation now, you know, 2 Corinthians 5. Our baptisms, we died and rose with Christ at our baptism. Like, that's already a reality today. And does our old sinful self still linger? Yes. The old realities of the sinful of the old creation.
But it's being drowned even.
Yeah. Yeah. It's being.
So sure, it still exists, but even that's not, I mean, there's no victory there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's a present in breaking now of the end of the world. There's a present in breaking of life now. Yes. Is there still a waiting? Is there still a final fulfillment? Will there be, we will all undergo temporal death and our bodies be resurrected? Yes, unless Christ returns like in 10 minutes, you know, like that's that is to come for us. But the resurrection of Jesus is the end of the world has already broken in. The new life of God, the restoration of creation, it is broken in. And here's Christ, the first fruits of it.
It is really interesting to think of this now, not yet tension, which I think you're sort of talking about when it comes to resurrection. Like, we know this is now. But at the same time, it's not yet. We still have to go through our physical death unless Christ comes before that. But there is something special knowing that on Easter Sunday, it's like we can focus more on the now, right? Because it's Easter. Like, he is risen.
Yeah, indeed. Hallelujah. Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. See, you know, it's just like a knee-jerk reaction for us.
Right.
And that's kind of even looking back on the sermon, I kind of felt like I had two conclusions because it was that now, not yet reality. One paragraph was kind of saying how that Jesus lives, his tomb's been vacated, ours will be vacated, his body lives, our bodies will live. On that day, we're not going to need to ask, why do you seek the living among the dead? On the day of the resurrection of all flesh, you know, it's going to be good. It's going to happen. And that's the not yet. And then I transition, but today's still not that day. It wasn't Sunday. And unfortunately, at the time of this recording, it's still not yet. And we live in the not yet. And the reality of there is still sin. There is still death. We are still in the old graveyard of the old creation.
We're still in suffering and in pain.
Right. Suffering and pain are still here. And so is Christianity a waste of our time? No, because the end has broken in Christ. And so when we gather together in worship, you know, for the Easter season, we're going to be singing, this is the feast, right? This is the feast of victory for our God. Right? It is broken in. Everything is rightly related with the world when we gather together for the supper, when we gather together in worship as the church. Is there meaninglessness? Is this just life now, a pile of purposelessness that we're just waiting out the clock and hopefully I escape and no, God cares so much about us. He's resurrected our brother, Jesus. He's resurrected his son, and he gives us all the purpose we need. Why are we here today? Why do I still live in this creation? Because God put us here, and God will raise us here too. There are plenty of times in our lives when we can feel quite purposeless, and this is it. So many stages of life. I've had conversations with those who are younger and trying to figure out what to do in life or whatnot. And yet I've also had conversations with the elderly of just, why am I still here? You know, why won't God just take me? And part of our answer is God has kept you alive today. You belong in the creation. You matter to God still today. And Christ gives us that purposeness because his body lives too. And then the other piece at the end was, are we just to detach ourselves from this life, from our relations or the creation? Well, no, we've been created to Adam and Eve, right? Care for the creation, tend the garden, name the animals, put into relationship with one another. These vocations still matter. This is how God cares for his creation. We're not to detach ourselves from these things. Rather, they have been rightly restored and reclaimed through the risen Christ. And what the resurrection does is it breathes new life into the creation once more, right? It restores the color, as I said earlier.
No, I love what you said. I think that's incredibly comforting for someone who either is facing that temptation of wanting to detach themselves from roles and responsibilities that are difficult right now, or also for someone who feels like their life is lacking meaning or purpose. So maybe just to, in this time, just for any of our listeners, if maybe they themselves are struggling with purposelessness, or they have a friend or have someone in their life that they know is struggling with that, what's something that they can really cling to in that struggle?
If that person is a Christian, speak to their baptism. Every morning we wake up a baptized child of God, and that is God's unchanging promise he's placed upon you. And that means you matter to God today, so much so that he preserves you in this creation. To the person who is not a Christian, who doesn't believe, expose them to the hope that there is a God who actually cares about you and cares so much for you that he's actually rescued you. A God who doesn't say, climb to me. A God who, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven for us. And part of being a Christian in this old creation is to be a good storyteller. And by that I mean to tell the story, the real story, because there's really only one true story. Amongst all the other false narratives and beliefs and philosophies, we need to be good narrators. And the gospel writers remind us of that as the four gospels give us the resurrection. They tell the story.
Yeah, there's something special in being able to remind the people in our life they've been brought into God's story, like you said. And that just can make, it can make all the difference. Of course, it's not to minimize any pain or suffering or whatever they may be going through, but it does give them real comfort and hope.
Yeah, the resurrection is not mere history, but it's present reality for us because Christ is with us today. He's not just with us in spirit. He's mysteriously bodily with us too as his church. I think also as you start to look ahead, you know, Luke wrote the book of Acts. And that's where you start to see a great spreading of the church that happens, but also a great increase of suffering that comes upon the church. And just miraculously how the church will suffer and even can rejoice in that suffering. I think it's the end of Acts 4. It talks about how they rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name. The name of the risen Christ. And Jesus gives all meaning and purpose. Jesus makes facing pain and suffering possible and even worth it. And it's all because he rose. It's Acts 4, Acts 5, when the disciples are arrested, they're told, stop saying that he rose from the dead. That's the controversial thing. A dead man came back to life, and he's never dying again. And he's the king of creation. He's the Lord of all. And no one can take that away. No crown, no prince, no way of thinking. Christ is the reality. And that just reminds me of, you didn't ask me something that didn't make it into the sermon. Luke's gospel, I encourage you all, go back to Luke 24. It says in verse 3, and after entering the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And that's a really cool moment. Now we just think, okay, well, Lord Jesus, we call Jesus, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, all this, you know, it's a very common title. But in the gospels, you never get the phrase, the Lord Jesus, except this one time in Luke.
I didn't know that.
And then you start to get a bunch in Acts, and then you get it all over in Paul. The term Lord is so loaded. We think of the term Yahweh, you know, the name of God in the Old Testament that we'll just, you know, render Lord in our English Bibles. And so when the New Testament says Jesus is Lord, you know, it's part of the confession. It's the same God in the Old Testament, guys. And he became part of this creation. But also, the term Lord was also ascribed to Caesar in that day, that Caesar is Lord. And Luke is very much challenging us to remember that no matter the suffering, no matter the pain, no matter the powers that be, the lords of this world, they're nothing to the Lord Jesus. And that Lord Jesus has claimed you and baptized you. And that Lord Jesus will resurrect your body no matter what they do to it here.
That all authority has been given to him.
Yeah, all authority has been given to him. I mean, you matter to the Lord Jesus. Who cares what the Lord Caesar thinks of you? It just gives such a different perspective on everything. The Lord Jesus has given you life today. What a blessing that is. our tasks and vocations of today, where they come from, they came from the Lord Jesus. The resurrection is everything for us as Christians. And just to say a sentence like that just doesn't capture how amazing that truly is.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I feel like that's just the perfect way to end this podcast episode. What more can we really say?
Yeah, in some sense, yeah, there's nothing else we can say, and yet we have everything to say now. Yeah. But that's the whole point. And I kind of love how we've kind of stumbled a little bit in this recording. It's just too much going on. And I mentioned at the very beginning about the four gospel accounts, and you know, they seem to say different things, but we can reconcile them. I'm going to throw a handout in the show notes that kind of lays it all out. Like, here's how you can make sense of the morning. But I think it also just speaks to the validity of the accounts that you can make this work, even though there's different, you know, emphasis of detail. But can you imagine the gospel writer for the first time writing it down, trying to describe what that was like? Having heard this good news, I mean, imagine John, like, you know, he was there at the tomb. He saw the risen Christ later that day. And imagine him thinking back on that moment. Yeah, my pen would shake a little bit too. And, you know, I might not get all the details, you know, as fully as I might want to, because the world changed that day. And the world still has changed because Christ has risen and he's coming back to restore this world. Like, that's it. So like I said, I'll throw a handout that kind of lays it out for us. You want to kind of lay out the Bible verses and make sense of the timeline. I'll throw a link in the show notes also for the Christian Difference, that book we studied as a staff. And it was a handy resource. I think it did a pretty decent job with other religions. It's always kind of, sorry, you can say something.
Yeah, I learned a lot from it, and I really appreciated that each person who wrote a specific chapter on a religion was an expert in that religion, but also was writing from a Christian perspective. Yeah. So it just helped me understand a little bit more.
No, that's the point I wanted to get into, is often when you pick up a book on world religions, like a textbook, it may not treat the religion as accurately as it should, or it might misrepresent. And yeah, these authors in each of these chapters are either just experts that in this field of this particular religion, or they were converts. Yep. And so I remember the chapter on Islam was from someone who was formerly a Muslim. And the Judaism chapter was someone who was formerly a practicing Jew. So it's nice to have those perspectives in the book there. And so, yeah, I certainly commend it. It's a nice resource.
This wraps up the episode for today. Thanks for listening to our discussion. If you missed the sermon or you'd like to listen to it again, the link is found in the show notes. You can also find the sermon on our church website, stjohndublin.org. If you would like to submit a question about a sermon, please email us at podcast@stjohndublin.org. Or if you'd prefer to text a question, please text the phone number found in the show notes. Thank you, Pastor, for joining me and for feeding us the word this week.
Yeah, certainly glad to. Hey, we made it, Deaconess. Post Sermon Podcast has become a weekly venture for a little while.
That's right. Yeah. Not four or five in one week.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for who's been listening. And please continue to share it and encourage folks to check this out. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Bye.